time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, October 30th, 2023. Hard to believe we got Halloween coming up tomorrow. You guys got your candy ready at the front door? I hope you are. Are you guys going to be doing anything at the office? For those of you, how do you have a Halloween party when you're doing it remote? I guess you could just show up and put on the calendar something over there, but there's so many virtual tools we can use. But anyway, it's Halloween. It is going to be fun as always. This podcast, which is fun, is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. We're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Our goal is to be as informative as possible. We like to have some fun on this, and we get a lot of feedback that you guys seem like you're having fun, and we are. There is no question about it. Let's say a special thank you to our sponsors. Software Byte is designed for both to be both very profitable and flexible. Byte's LOS gives you a total control over your loan processing and the freedom to do business as the way you want to do it. You're not locked into constraints. It's flexible. It's got a flexible API. It's got a wonderful workflow automation in there. Great system. It is a product that you could use at any level, starting out or for the biggest enterprise companies out there. Some companies like CMG uses it. Some like Atlantic Bay uses it. Very powerful software. You could use it. Also, Finastra, completes applications and workflow direct inside of their Fusion Mortgage Bot POS system, as well as their LOS. Be sure to check out Finastra, the leading fintech company in the world. And then also Total Expert, how we love Total Expert. It turns customer insights into actions, increasing loyalty and driving growth for banks, lenders, credit unions, and other financial service firms. They're just what they build out and the intentionality that goes into this product, folks. It's just amazing. Also, iEmergent, you're going to hear from them a little bit later. All the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, and Modex. So good to have them all as sponsors. Thank you, sponsors. Appreciate it. Check out all of our sponsors on our website under the sponsorship page. Past episodes, this last Wednesday, October 25th, we released the episode with Tycho and Sarita from Chase. That was an excellent podcast. They talked about the Correspondent Community Lending Program. These two gals, they bring such a passion to what they're doing at Chase. And you can say big banks and Chase, what are they really doing? You got to listen to this podcast we released last Wednesday, October 25th. It was delightful. Also, last Friday, we released the podcast on October 27th with Marjorie Willis of the Navy Federal Credit Union, and it's Women Empowerment. I met Marjorie at Empower. It was a great event last year, and it was this year. You'll enjoy it. Now, this week, we've got some really good ones that are coming up. Today, we're releasing James Dwiggins of Next Home. I recorded this on Friday, and I immediately spent Saturday editing it up. Ben and I worked on it, and we're releasing it out today because it's got an important update on what's going on in the real estate class action lawsuit. James Dwiggins, again, the CEO of Next Home. He's very close to the attorneys in this matter. Next Home is a real estate firm. He is up close, and the outcome is going to affect him directly. But he's also in the midst of this, launching a new business that is going to help all of this. There's a solution in the middle of this. So it's going to create some disruption, yes, but it's also creating some opportunities. Do not miss this podcast that is being released today. So back-to-back podcast on this day. Got a lot of stuff we're trying to get out. And then on Wednesday, November 1st, Mark Todd with Byte Software. That was a fun interview. And you get to learn more about one of our sponsors. So we're grateful to have all our regulars with us. Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle's here in person, as well as Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and of course, my co-host. I wasn't thinking he's going to be here today, so I prepared this all without him. Mark, good to have you here. I'm glad you're able to join in. I don't know why I got my wires crossed on that, but
glad to be here, sir.
Let's get into some of the stuff we've got to go over. I want to talk about one of the big headlines that hit last week. In fact, I'm going to save it for when David Kittle comes on. And that's, of course, the the announcement of the closure of Homestar Financial that happened, and I'll talk about that in the next time. But let's get over to Adam DeSantis and the MBA Mortgage Minute. What do you have for us today, Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The CFPB this month released a notice of proposed rulemaking to implement Section 1033 of the Dodd-Frank Act. The proposed rule would require depository institutions and non-banks to make consumer information available to the consumer and third parties through prescribed methods. Under this proposal, data providers would be required to make certain data available to a consumer or authorized third party in an electronic format. Data providers would also be required to maintain both a consumer interface as well as a developer interface to be assessed by third parties to facilitate this transfer. Depository institutions would be covered under the proposal as a data provider only if they maintain a consumer interface. Meanwhile, most IMBs would be covered as a third party accessing consumer information held by data providers. MBA previously submitted a comment letter supporting efforts to streamline access to consumer financial data because it allows for faster and more reliable verification of borrower income and assets for underwriting. MBA plans to submit a response to the proposal and will keep members informed of any updates. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Adam DeSantis. Appreciate that update. Very helpful, very interesting. I want to talk about that, discuss that a little bit later in some of the things they talked about. But let's get over to Les Parker and get a view of this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. Les Parker and his music parody. What does he have for us today?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Time, 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 see what's become of bears. Bubbles looked around at their possibilities.
The less than zero curve is smaller. So, the Fed takes solace with the high bond yields to provide economic drag. If the Fed tightens on Wednesday, then the long end should rally because it signals a recession sooner and longer. If the Fed does nothing as expected, then the historically large bet on higher rates creates a short cover rally. As a result, expect mortgage rates to start dropping, but the industry stays in a hazy shade of winter. These views are mine. Find the light in the winter at tmspotlight.com.
Look around. Curve is down. And Fed high is a hazy shade of winter.
It's got some interesting possibilities in it. I can't wait to get into the discussion. We'll be timing to talk about that in just a minute. Man, a lot of good stuff, information. But before we start talking about that, let's get the update from Matt Graham. Matt Graham, by the way, you can sign up for Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. And you can do so by putting in the word power in the sign-up area. Get the paid version of his newsletter, which is so good. And you'll have it for free. There you go. Anyway, let's get over to Matt Graham. He is not here with us live, but Matt did send in a recording. And so let's get Matt's take on the market, and we're going to get into a discussion about all this good stuff.
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. Last week was a volatile one for the bond market for a couple of reasons. Things got kicked off on a downbeat note with yields moving higher in the overnight session. One potential reason behind that was fresh speculation on Japan unveiling more changes to its yield curve control policy. And also, we are simply testing the 5% 10-year Treasury yield ceiling and consolidating near those levels. The previous week had seen a couple instances of buying demand coming in after yields had hit 5%. This week, same story. And there were no other ways to justify the buying at times other than to say investors were coming in at the 5% level. There was even a tweet from Bill Ackman, the activist investor that gets some attention on CNBC from time to time, saying that his fund was covering its short position in treasuries, one that was previously, publicized or focused upon by the media or by the financial market as just another bearish voice for the bond market. So when that voice flips into a more bullish stance, it gets some attention. There's also some actual money behind it, obviously. So that played a role in getting yields back down. The rest of the week really stayed between the highs and lows set on Monday for the most part. There was a little bit of a breakout on Tuesday morning, but by and large, it was range bound. And that's interesting considering that there was big ticket economic data that came out on Thursday morning, and that data seemed like it should have resulted in bond market weakness. Instead, the bond market was able to rally. The data in question, specifically, the biggest deal was probably GDP coming in at 4.9 versus 4.3. And we don't normally put a lot of stock in GDP except for the first reading on any given quarter, which this one was. It was offset by a drop or a miss in final sales, and that came in 1% lower than expected. And that could be one of the offsetting factors. Some traders and analysts also pointed to lower PCE prices, but that one didn't make a ton of sense to me considering there were other inflation components inside the GDP data that suggested higher inflation, like the deflator coming in at 3.5 versus 2.5. In any event, the following day's PCE inflation data came in right in line with forecasts, didn't move the markets much. University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index, the one-year inflation expectations were revised another 0.4% higher to 4.2%. That's very high. And the market didn't seem to care. So what would we conclude based on that? We can conclude that rates are high, up near 5% in anticipation of additional reasons for bearishness, additional economic data that would push rates higher and maybe cause the Fed to reconsider all of their comments over the past 3 weeks regarding no need to hike rates further. A good amount of policy tightenings in the pipeline. It has yet to filter through. Some of their contacts are saying that things are weakening more than the data shows. And now we're just waiting to see if the data agrees with the Fed's little, you know, cautionary warning, or if the data continues to be super strong. That's why the current week is so tremendously interesting and important, because this is the week of any given month where we get a majority of the month's biggest ticket reports. That includes things like the employment cost index, JOLTS, which is job openings and labor turnover, ADP employment, ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing, and of course, the almighty jobs report on Friday morning. In addition to that, we have events that don't always come out in conjunction with the heavy data week. That includes a Fed announcement on Wednesday afternoon. Perhaps their statement or the press conference will speak further to all of the comments that came out over the past 3 weeks. And we also have Treasury's quarterly refunding announcement that will come out in stages. First part will be later today, and that will give the overall amount of new Treasury borrowing. And then Wednesday's announcement will break it down in detail by auction size. That has always had the potential to be a big market mover, at least in the short term. It doesn't always cause a lasting impact, but combined with all of the other week's events, it could be a big one. Oh, yes, and we also have Bank of Japan tomorrow letting us know whether or not they are officially adjusting their yield curve control policy. By the time it's all said and done after Friday's jobs report, the bond market may very well look like it has decided on a direction that it's going to move away from this consolidation between roughly 4.8 and 5% in terms of 10-year treasury yields. At the risk of stating the obvious, if the data is weaker, then that direction is probably toward lower rates, or hopefully it would be. And of course, if the data surprises to the upside, then rates could continue up into the 5% range, likely pushing mortgage rates back up and over the 8% level.
Very good, Matt. Appreciate you coming in with this. All right, let's get some discussion around this. Mark, have you joined in? Anything you heard there that was with Les and Matt that caught your attention?
I think that I'm not surprised. I really think that it's the bad week of the month. We know all the stuff happens this week, and I just hope it doesn't go over 8%, but I don't have a lot of control over that, and I guess we'll wait and see what happens.
Deal with that as we have. Mr. Kettle, got your thoughts on that?
On what specifically, David?
I'm just, anyway, well, rates. What are you, when rates. You hear, yeah. So we're going to okay. get... We're going to get into talking about production in just a minute. I want to get your thoughts on the Homestar thing, but any reactions to Les and Matt's perspective?
I hear Les saying he thinks rates may come down a little bit, right? Yep. What's a little bit? And if they come down a quarter or 3/8 or a half, does that spur where we are based on where the economy is right now with everything else that people are going through? And I don't think it really does any good. We're in coming into the end of the fourth quarter of the year. It's always down this time. The first part of the year, the first quarter is always slow for our business, and it usually cyclically picks up in the second quarter. So for it to have a silver lining in the cloud based on any of this, I don't see it. Having said that, you still got to go out and do business. So there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, but my only solution is to what we did years ago, and that's make more calls and work harder. And it may not produce anything, but at least you're out there doing it.
It hasn't changed at all. Alice, as you listen to Les talk, I know I don't know about you, your head down. I was making a note, again, because you and I both follow so much of what Les is saying, and I have such confidence in it. Matt does a good job of reporting the facts, but Les seems pretty confident, as David said, that rates are going to be heading down. Encouraging. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think all I can do, I'm not an expert like Les and Matt are in that field. And Matt's really good at just trying to toe the line with where things are today based on facts today. And Les is a little more willing to step out there and try and predict the future. I think that all we can do is exactly what David said, is you just have to sharpen your axe and you have to keep those relationships. Don't let it get you to the point where you're freezing. You have to just continue to be out there, be with folks, be with your realtors. They'll remember you standing side by side with them when they're struggling as well and trying to make those deals work. Everybody's looking to come up with having every possible tool in their toolbox to be out there to help folks, educate folks. You can always still build and maintain relationships during this time, during what is looking like a nuclear winter coming up here in these next few months.
You're quoting an article that just got published by David Stevens, so I can't wait to get into that discussion with you on that. Alan, any thoughts before we get over to Mr. Kittle about some of the nuclear winter?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. We obviously have rates are high. There are unique ways to get buyers into homes, and it's a matter of educating borrowers, educating yourself, using the right technology. I think it's really important to understand. I saw something online recently that with lower rates, you buy more home. With higher rates, you buy less home. But a bigger home costs more to maintain. It costs more to upgrade. It costs more to just sustain generally. As you have to help folks. People want to buy a home. You have to help them understand. They may buy something smaller in 5 years. They're looking to upgrade because they may have two kids, right? Rates may not be the distractor. Maybe you just didn't find the right home. Rates are high. I remember my first house. I've talked about in this podcast in the past. It was 6.5-7% in the 2000s, early 2000s, late 90s. So it's not all that bad.
I bought my first house in 1974 for $29,995.
Wow. I mean,
$29,995. It's just, you sit back and think about those old days. Alice, you remember, you've been around. It's a little bit different world.
And I do. My first house I got on a land contract back in the day when you could do those, and that was at 11%. But I remember my only fixed rate loan in my pipeline when I started as a processor, and I started in 82. Oh. I had a 21% fixed rate. Everything else was an ARM at 11. So you hear the national numbers were 18 at their peak, but our bank was lousy with rates, the one I worked for, and it got that high. So one thing what I'm curious about with the rates is, what is that magic number that's going to make consumers feel good? When it hit 9.99, people were like jumping over the moon. Oh my gosh, this is the greatest rate. If we do hit 8 and we're there for a short period of time, it's not going to be long. Then what is that magic number that all of a sudden everybody starts going, 6 is awesome, or 6 and a half, right? There's going to be that number that folks who saw 4s and are going to be, whoa, I don't think that's a great rate. But we're building a pipeline of people right now. We're going to think 6 is awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's absolutely spot on, Al. It's an excellent perspective. And it's so funny because I started out in my career in 1973, bought my first home in 74. I looked at was going back and looking at interest rates. Rates were vertically going up. I started when they're in the sevens and it shot up to 20%. And I go, that was the market I started in. What? You got to go back and just realize what to Kittle's point. You just got to get out there and hustle. Get out, do what, you know, it comes up to mindset, skill set, and activities. And it's, you got to be doing the right ones all the time. Very good. Alex,
David, I want to put a comment here if I could. I was going to mention that before you did, but I'm going to mention anyway. I remember when I thought 14% was a great rate.
we were being told what was going on in Europe back then. In those days, you go, we should be grateful that we only have a 14% interest rate, because over in Europe, they're paying what they were paying over there, which was higher. So it's just crazy. Yeah, it is so much go ahead. You had a thought.
I want to share one other thing with you. Happened. I have a realtor friend who has multiple real estate offices in Houston that contacted me, and he said, I want to run something by you. And this happened two days into last week. It was Wednesday afternoon. And he came to me and he says, I've got a new plan here. And I said, what's your plan? He says, my plan is to close more loans. And I said, that's great. How are you going to sell these properties and close loans? And he says, I want to run something by you that I put together. And when he did, my eyes just popped open, because the guy's really onto something. Right now in Houston, there's just a lot of houses not selling because of a radius. And everybody's backing off on the rate. Some of that back off is people don't want to pay the rate. Some of the back off is they don't qualify with the new rate.
Don't qualify, yeah.
Yeah, but on the ones that are backing off just because they don't want to pay the rate, he's got a scenario he lays out to them and saying, look, here's a house that's worth $500,000. I can get that house for you right now because these people are desperate to sell for $450,000. But you got to pay a 7.5% rate other than where you really want to be at a 5% rate. But here is the history of our mortgage industry and what's happened to rates over the last 10 years. You will have an opportunity if these rates go up to refinance down the road. So you got to weigh the cost savings you have on the house against the extra money you're going to pay on interest. And if you weigh that, you're going to find you're not going to be far off doing your purchase now rather than wait until later.
Yep.
And I thought it was an interesting approach he has taken.
It is. It's exactly right. The property in Houston, there's other markets like that are not yet dropping. So we'll see. Anyway, thinking, get creative here. Very good. Excellent discussion about that. Now let's listen to the latest update today from John Maynill of iEmergent.
Thanks, David. By now, you know that iEmergent's purchase mortgage forecasts give lenders geo-targeting capabilities by neighborhood or census tract and real estate agent productivity with the same incredible granularity and accuracy. Mortgage Market Smart can show who has the most active listings or sold listings, including buy-side information, in each individual census tract, allowing lenders to develop the best strategic partnerships with both buyers and sellers' agents in the specific hotspots they're trying to reach. This functionality is absolutely unique to iEmergent, David.
Mr. Kittle, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about Homestar Financial. It shuts down. You and I both know one of the CFO that worked there at one point in time. They want to leave his name out of the discussion. By the way, the thing that I've heard over and over about the company, it is owned by Wes, and he is just supposed to be one of the finest individuals, Wes Hunt. And he is supposed to be just one of the finest guys out there, run company, highly respected, highly regarded. When you see this happening, it plays into the article that David Stevens just published that's going to be a nuclear winner. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I hate to say it, but your thoughts on this closure and what we can anticipate from your perspective.
I think, Wes, to your point, even in some of the articles out there, his employees are opining about what a fabulous guy was to work for. And he's a stand-up guy. But he's been in the business a long time. He's been through four or five of these turndowns. This is the first one that's 100% policy-driven. So it's not like we made bad credit decisions before and we can change some things. You can't change bad policy until the next election. So he looked at this. He wants to take what money maybe he's got left off the table. He's done it a long time, and he just doesn't have the stomach for it anymore. And you're going to see more people doing that, or people getting out not being a lender anymore. They're going straight broker. And I think that's mentioned in Dave Stevens' article as well.
Yep. I think so. Wes, we just wish you the very best. Thank you for the run that you had. I feel badly for all you employees at Homestar. We wish we could just do something and make it with me. Wave a magic wand, but this is unfortunately the pain that this industry is feeling and has felt very personally. It's a sad story, but I think it's going to be repeated numerous times in the months ahead. Overall production, David, I agree with you in your comment. It's just, it's really coming down to your mindset, and you've just, for those that do not have the right mindset, as well as an adjustment on the skill set. Talk a little bit more about that later, but it's just having that and realizing at the end of the day, I just got to hustle a little bit faster. We always say the guy that's out there in the woods, you don't have to outrun the bear that's chasing you. You just have to outrun the guy that you're running with. And that's the competition. Final thoughts, Mr. Kittle.
It's what we've been saying here for a long time. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's right. You do have to work harder, smarter, learn how to structure a deal to sit down. You got to get face to face with the borrower. And that's really hard to do today. But maybe it was Alice earlier, I think, that made the comment, don't leave your realtor and builder side. You've got to go through this with them and together. And when you come out on the other side, then you still have your relationships inside.
Yeah, and provide leadership to them. They too need encouragement. And if you're coming through there with a sour face, a down face, woe is us, it's going to be horrible. You're going to reflect that, and it's not good. I love guys.
Stevens does make a comment in there, and it's true. This industry is overall, including, I've been in it 47 years, it's not very bright. And it continues to do the same things to itself over and over. And when you're making lots of money, you don't put it away. And we forget our relationships in refinancing booms. Our memory is not very long, and this one's going to cost us a little bit more than the last.
Unfortunately, it's going to. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Kittle. You are not a member of the Collaborative, which David is the CEO of and co-founder. Thank you so much for being here. Outstanding organization, David. And Melissa, who is the...
You're welcome.
Sitting there, you guys just continue to knock it out of the park. And I think it's really important at times like this that you have an organization like the Mortgage Collaborative or Lenders One, where you are coming together and talking with peers in a more intimate setting. You guys do that extremely well with the collabs, everything. So kudos to you, David. Continued success. And you guys are growing. That's nice. That's good.
How about that? We just added 3 members in the last 10 days, I think. So yeah. Growing in this market because there's a need for it. So thanks.
That's
for that.
Exactly. Appreciate it. Yeah. You bet. Alice Alvey is here. She is Vice President of Partner Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, another one of those companies that sees the glass half full without ignoring the facts. Bill Cosgrove and team do a great job over there. They stole Alice out of the private sector working and put her back to work in a company. I couldn't believe that when that happened, but that's a number of years ago. Alice, what do you have for us on the legislative update? Good to have you here.
Oh, good to be here too, Dave. The legislative front is a little quiet. And so what I thought, since we're having this discussion today, was to talk a little bit about how to get around the market today. I want to point out the book Atomic Habits to everybody.
Yes.
If you haven't read this book.
That's a great book.
We're going through this book as part of one of our leadership classes, and something resonates with me today with this discussion that we talk about, and that it relates to this article that Dave Stevens wrote. It's in National Mortgage News. It's basically a Q&A format. So for those of you who are trying to go, what are they talking about? They keep bringing up Dave Stevens' article. That's the one. He talks a little bit about maybe rates will be in the 6s or the 5s by the end of next year, and we're going through a lot of hardship. But what you've really got to do is, this is one of those times in the book, it talks about identity-based habits versus outcome-based habits. Loan officers were able to just go, I want to originate X number of loans, and then if I did this and this, then I got that many loans. The markets have changed. And so what I think this is a great read this time of year, this time of this season in mortgage banking, to really hone your skills, because this is going to change you personally, right? This impact in the market is changing you inside personally. You're feeling it. A lot of you are feeling it in your budget. You're feeling it in the things you used to do, the things you like to do. Just everything is changing. And so when something changes at your core like that, that enables you to really go, I've got to make some changes. What are those changes? And look at pulling together systems. So what he focuses on and teaches is about developing those systems. And those words just resonate in mortgage banking. And so often we don't have that identity or that thing that happens to us that makes us passionate about it. So I just want to share that with our listeners. There's a lot of news out there, a lot of things you're reading that is negative or that it's going to be a tough winter, but you are in control of it. That's the first thing to accept. You Yes. are in control. Don't walk around saying, I'm not in control. You are in control of what works for you. And that's just one of the many good books that are out there that might help you through it.
That's a great book, by the way. So glad you raised that one. There's at times like this, I think it's like, what are you pulling into you? What are you pulling into yourself? Are you pulling the negativity or are you pulling in material that can make a difference? Again, I'm all about not ignoring the negativity that's out there. It is a tough market. But what are you filling your mind, your heart with, and what are you doing and carrying out to others? Alice, great. That's excellent. Any thoughts on some of the things that the MBA reported on or just generally some of the things that are on the horizon? What are you paying attention to as we look forward into the new year legislatively?
Well, I think the only thing that's out right, CSB, the Conference of State Bank Supervisors did push out that they would like to see a postponement in the new mortgage call report format that's supposed to go out at the beginning of the year. I think that was a good win that we've got that group, at least behind the industry, to postpone the new report format, since a lot of it is just technical that we have to make sure we can get in place. That was a bit of a relief. Fannie and Freddie working on their new credit score model. That seems to be something we're just watching closely, but hasn't really turned a corner where we have to say we're going to also, in all of this going on this winter, we have to have an upheaval in the way credit scores are going to be run in our industry. So no big changes coming up in the next end of this year, Q1 of next year. From an agency standpoint and a legislative standpoint, just a lot of things we're watching, and we'll see what unfolds in the election year.
Yep, it is election year. Who knows where that'll take us. Alice Alvey, thank you so much for being here. From the beginning of this podcast, you have been here faithfully helping me do a better and better job. Thank you so much. Check out all of the previous reports by Alice on our website. You can download them, listen to them. Binge on Alice, like one of my listeners wrote me. I just binged on Alice report. I just went through it and I had our whole compliance team go through it, our ops team. They were commenting about it. You could do it. Listen, folks, you can go to our website, lookitonlendy.com, and listen to each one of the segments. And if you want to get updated on all the things Alice has been talking about, go there and do it. Alice, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week. Say hi to your husband. He is just such a cool guy. I like him a lot. I can see why you've been married to him.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah, say hi to Bill and Alan, the whole team there. Great, great company. Excellent group. I love Bill's vision. Good deal. Alan Pollock is here with us. He's the chief operating officer for Candid Inc. And he's got for us a weekly tech update, probably a bad joke or a good joke. Bad joke or good joke this week, Alan. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. I think I'll skip the jokes today. But I will mention, since you brought up Candid, that Candid is finding success. Their originators are finding success in the ability to maintain relationships with builders and realtors. That is really big. Obviously, it's a shameless plug. But if you are thinking, how do I connect with those folks and make them part of the overall lending experience, which is not just relationship, but it's expectations, it's long-term, it's longevity, take a look at Candid. But separately, also remember that you should be working your database, right? And that's another thing that Candid folks are finding very successful, is being able to go back to their prior database of past clients and realtors and builders and work those relationships. There are loans, obviously, out there.
There's an old consultant out there that had a great program called Joe. His name is Joe Stump, and he had buy referral only. I don't remember if anyone else remembers it. It was a program that was out there. He had a theory that if you're in the business for 2 years to any amount of volume, you didn't even have to be a big hitter. You could live for the rest of your mortgage career off of the referral base from the customers you did in your first 2 years. It was a great program. I don't know what happened to Joe and his material, but that is should be resurrected by somebody out there by referral only. And Candid does that. And with the automation tools we have, such as Candid, it allows you to do that. Also, Total Expert can help you do that. But we could go on and on. Let's get a tech update from you.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. I'm loving Bard right now. Google Bard. I'm loving that. That is.
Yeah, it is great. There's everything has its benefits, right? And being part of your search process automatically and being able to do different things with different plugins clearly is a winner. So yeah, I agree, David. If you haven't checked out Bard, you definitely want to do. Let's talk about Taylor Swift for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that she now, her net worth is $1.1 billion? So her last tour, her Eras tour, boosted her own wealth, went from $740 million, and she added, the tour added $4.3 billion to the U.S. GDP, believe it or not, but she's now worth $1.1 billion. So it was a nice jump for her. And clearly for people that never watched football before, they're connecting NFL and Taylor Swift, which is a horrible connection, but people are doing it. I'm sure there'll be more news on that in the future.
Not sure how that relates to mortgage tech, but you having all daughters and me having daughters, I totally get we hear that name a lot, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's just a mortgage used to be one of the largest or the largest contributor to GDP. So I think that's really, or the U.S. housing system, I should say. That's why I brought that up. Also, David, here's a quick shower thought, so it's not a joke. But given how much we like to snack late at night, it's unacceptable that most microwaves still don't have a mute switch. Dun-dun-dun. Those late night trips to the microwave have to be super noisy.
Yes.
Considering we talked a little bit about AI, here's something interesting. If anyone has ever invested, or if you're looking to be a small-time investor, there's a company out there called Start Engine. And if you sign up, you'll get a list of things every day.
You said that fast. Starter?
Yeah, it's okay. Start Engine, all one word.
Okay.
And it's startengine.com. Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank actually, I think, is a big promoter or probably a possible part owner or investor in it. But they always have companies that you can invest small pieces in, and they've got one right now. And given the fact that we've talked about AI chefs and robots in fast food, this is called the Robot Barista. And it's a company called Artly, and they use cutting-edge AI tech to create authentic specialty coffee experiences with robot baristas, no humans involved. They've raised over $10 million on the Start Engine platform. They've launched in 9 locations, so different states throughout the country, and they've served almost 500,000 cups of coffee, and they're continuing to expand right now.
Yeah, so I'm on the website right now, Start Engine. This is pretty cool. That's Kevin.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And there's some mortgage folks in there, but yeah, Start Engine is a great platform. All right, let's talk about mortgage delinquencies, David.
Okay.
They're still super low, right? So this is ICE kind of looked back and said, hey, in September, here are some numbers. They said the national delinquency rate climbed to 3.29 in September, which is up 12 basis points from August. And it makes the second largest annual increase in the last 2.5 years. But the good news is that the delinquency rate remains 71 basis points below the pre-pandemic levels of 2019. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is that we have inflation soaring. We have a lot, the environmental factors are pressing in different areas. Let's just round it up to that, right? And so there is a small rise in the national delinquency rate. They said that, this is ICE, they said that in September, serious delinquencies, 90 days past due, increased for the first time in 23, with 7,000 additional borrowers in that category. I mentioned this because, number one, if you're retaining servicing, okay, or you're looking to invest in portfolios, one is you have to do the proper due diligence to crack that tape. Or you need to look at your own servicing portfolio. And there's technology solutions out there that will refresh data. They'll do all types of analysis. They'll look at prepayment speeds. They'll look at risk of default, cumulative loss, all these things. And you need to look at those things. But when you look at the number, okay, so it only went up a little bit, but 7,000 additional borrowers, that's a lot of people that are 90 days past due. There's technology solutions, there's AI, there's a bunch of things you can do based on where you're servicing your loans or with what partner that you can get in front of this. So if you're in that category and some of those 7,000 that have broken the 90 day plus squadron or cycle right there, you want to look at figuring out, if you're not already, how do you get in front? How do you resurrect these borrowers to be on-time payers and to maintain being a customer with you? Or what do you do if they can't? So take a look at that. There's some other notes there. If you want to learn more, Google it. It's the Mortgage Delinquencies ICE September update.
Okay.
And then David, we might as well, since we're on the topic of ICE, we might as well talk about the fact that they have now completed their $12 billion acquisition of Black Knight. But check this out. They said that ICE expects the net revenue synergies, you ready? Of $125 million by 2028. And I guarantee you that's a conservative number. And what they're saying, largely through cross-sell opportunities, this is not new customers. This is with products they have by integrating the Black Knight servicing robust data and analytics platform. And they're saying, obviously, ICE with their loan origination, with the document automation, with their closing and consumer engagement solutions, they're saying that combined platform will bring in an extra $125 million with no new customers. And they're saying, obviously, it'll be done with transparent workflow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So very interesting. Check that out. And then, David, let's talk about AI. Every week we bring up something about AI. So I wanted to do that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Fannie Mae real quick. I have three interesting components for AI. The first one that you should take a look is brandcrowd.com. You can make a logo and you don't sign up. It's completely free. And there's, if you're looking to make a logo for a training component of your business, or if you're looking to make a logo for a spin-off, or if you have your own tech group, or you're a vendor and you want a logo, this is pretty cool. There's some good ones out there, by the way. It's not the only one. It's not the best. It's the easiest to go through and get options. Go check it out. They've got some really cool stuff. Now let's talk about two other AI components, David. These have to do with summarizing content. A lot of people are testing out Fireflies and note takers and all these solutions that join our meetings, right? Yep. Well, get this. And everyone finds them very efficient and highly accurate. Get this, Spoke.ai. A lot of us use Slack. Spoke.ai will automatically, at a pre-prescribed time frame, provide you summarized summaries or summarizations of your Slack messages in one consolidated view. So you can look at them at one time, not be distracted, and then make action on that. Second one is a company called Wave, which this one's very cool. This is on your iOS phone. It can be hidden in the background. You can be doing other things with other apps. It transcribes all the audio it hears, and it takes notes and provides you full summaries. So check it out. It's called Wave, W-A-V-E. And then the prior one I mentioned is Spoke.ai. Those are two very cool tools. Now, David Licken and our audience, check this out. So mortgage lenders, this is from Fannie Mae, and it's from Peter over at Fannie Mae. He's VP of Modeling and Data Science. Mortgage lenders cite operational efficiencies as a primary motivation for AI adoption. You're not going to be surprised by these, but it says the top recommended, Fannie Mae suggests the top recommended AI application ideas is compliance, underwriting, and property valuation. And what they're basically saying is that nearly two-thirds of lenders that they surveyed, 65% in 2023, said that they are familiar with AI and ML technology. And that's somewhat consistent with 2018. So get that. So our industry that we always say is late to the game, in 2018, we were 63% in the know of AI and ML, and it's only 65% in 23. And then there's a very small amount regarding AI adoptions. Fannie Mae is saying that significantly fewer lenders in 23, only 7%, it was actually higher in 18, 14% said they've deployed AI and ML. So here's the deal at the end, and I'll save all the other stats for a further conversation. The deal in the end is people don't know how to implement AI. Is it secure? The CFPB, if you remember, David, came down and said, you got to be careful about information you're sharing with AI. How do you implement it? Is it a tool for writing emails? Is it a tool for automating workflow? How many vendors do you have to bring on board? So there's a lot to think about when we bring AI on. It's great to talk about these tools. Some of them are extremely helpful, but what you actually do with the tools and how you implement them is something that we're going to continue to learn and talk about in our industry.
I'm interested in the Wave. I'm trying to capture as much information on that. What's the website for that, Alan?
I'll post it in the notes, but if you were to Google it right now, if you're listening to us on a recorded basis or live.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a perspective blog, and its specific exact title is Mortgage Lenders Cite Operational Efficiency as Primary Motivation for AI Adoption. And it was published on October 4th. So it was about 20 something days ago. And I'll send you the link, David, so we can post it in our show notes.
Good. Appreciate it very much. I'm looking for a thing. I was looking at a device called Plaid. And it sticks on the back of your iPhone or any phone, and it allows you to just capture things. Because when I'm in the car driving along or in a conversation at a conference, and I get I wanted to be able to write that down, record it. And there is just not a means to do that until Plaid came along. So Plaid, and it appears to be working pretty well. So I want to find out it's one of the things I was going to have you check out for our report. We're capturing more and more information, what we can do with it on an audio basis, convert it into text, and then be able to make that searchable. So critical for all that's going on. Very good. Thank you so much, Alan. If you want to get a hold of Alan, you can get a hold of him over at Candid, or you can write us here at Alan, A-L-E-N, at TMS-advisors.com. Alan, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure, friend.
I want to mention something that's apropos here that I think we need to talk about. the market is affecting every lender different. And one of the things that's happening, since you and I've had such a touch on people getting their approvals and the GSEs and agencies, et cetera, I'm starting to get calls now, a lot of folks that have servicing that's going to sell servicing to better their liquidity in their company and try to make it through some of these tough times and all. But they're already running into a little bit of a roadblock because the pricing is dropping. As more of the servicing comes on the market, the price is dropping rapidly and do that. And the servicing for many of these mid-sized companies has been the core thing that keeps them involved. And I'm just concerned that that we're going to lose a large set of this core group of companies, maybe like the one that's getting out of the business that's going to sell off the servicing and all. And I think Mr. Kittle hit a point there when he talked about people going back, maybe people are just going to be brokers. Maybe we're going to have a trend going back towards that, because I'm starting to see a lot of folks out there. It just doesn't seem like they have the stomach for what they're going to have to go through again in the environment, especially the people that have been around 20, 25 years, because they've seen it before and they know how detrimental it can be to our business. But it's going to be a real interesting toe that we get in what happens with servicing, because the question is, in these financial times, how much of a market is there out there to buy the servicing? So these companies that have these servicing portfolios, are they really going to have a viable market that gives them a realistic benefit from selling their servicing in the market? That's a question I don't know the answer to, because there's not always dollars to buy servicing.
There's not always, especially when we have out there the Basel III regulations that are affecting banks. So a lot of the way the servicing is being leveraged and borrowed against could change, and that could change valuations. Right. I've got one client that said, we got all our portfolio, we sold all the other portfolio, high rate portfolio, MSR value. Now we're holding on to that, which is 5% and below. And what do you think about that? And I said, sell, because I think the Basel is one of these, the Basel III regulations that could be affecting the banks. They said, we're an independent, doesn't affect us. Independent mortgage banker, Basel III doesn't affect us. Directly, maybe not. Indirectly, very likely it could. Get some good counsel on this. We're going to be pulling together a special podcast. Mark, I want to bring you on. You've been a busy guy lately working on some other stuff, but I want to really bring you into this discussion. We're going to be talking about hold 'em or fold 'em, servicing MSR.
That's a good for Texas-based podcast.
That is, yeah. Here. All right. Mark, I want to come back and talk a little bit more about MSRs. I really think that's one of those topics that we just cannot get enough of. But we will actually turn that into a whole separate podcast. When can we get that done, Mark? I want to follow up on that. That is a hot topic. Should we hold them or fold them? And we're going to be doing that soon. Any thoughts that you want to share? Any wisdom on that? Just before we go.
I think it's a very opportune topic for right now, and I think it's a lot of people are looking at it in the industry and trying to make decisions for what's best for their company. So I'm pretty much game to do that whenever you'd like to, David. So just start looking at your calendar and tell me when you want to do it, and we'll get it done.
Get that one out for everybody else. Alice, thank you. Any thoughts as we wrap this up today?
I'm all set, Dave. Thank you very much. I hope folks can stay positive.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, stay positive out there. It's going to be difficult. Just outrun the competition. Don't think you have to outrun this bear market. Just outrun the competition, because it's going to be falling. Thank you all so much for being here with us. A special thank you goes out. Oh, by the way, check out the interview we're going to be recording and releasing with Doug and Les Parker and Matt Graham. And so we've got a group of us that we talk about interest rates. We're recording that tomorrow morning. We'll be releasing that this week as well. Doug Duncan of Fannie Mae, along with a good group of panelists talking about that very important topic. So a special thank you to our sponsors, Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, iEmergent, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, The Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modex. Thank you all for being here. Share this with others in your network. We look forward to having you back as a listener. Appreciate it, folks. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.